For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Let me start off with an apology, everybody. I'm so sorry to do this to you. I'm about to play a soundbite from Cory Bush.
Why you do this to us?
I know. I know. So she was on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. See, there's a book that is allegedly her memoir, meaning that allegedly she wrote it all herself, that is now for sale. And so she's doing the book tour thing. And so she's on ABC with, like I said, George Stephanopoulos. And he actually asked her about what she is known for the most around the country. Now, we know her as an embarrassment to the region, but she is nationally known. Of course, she thinks that's a good thing. Republicans around the country love the fact that she's an embarrassment to the St. Louis region. But Stephanopoulos asked her about the defund the police thing. And, hey, to her credit, she sticks to her guns. And she – this isn't doubling down. This is tripling, quadrupling, quintupling, sextupling, octatupling.
Yeah, how far are we going to go?
I don't know. Doubling down on the fact that she is basically politically at war with law enforcement in this country.
And you've stuck by it. In fact, you're one of the few Democrats now who still says, let's defund the police. Are you worried at all that that could hurt some of your colleagues going into the midterm elections?
See, the thing about defund the police is we have to tell the entire narrative. People hear defund the police, but you know what they'll say? Say reallocate, say divest, say move. But it's still the same thing. We can't get caught up on the words. People spend more time focusing on the word defund than they spend on caring and addressing the problem of police violence in this country.
She is so dumb. So why is she so dumb? And she really just blew up all of her fellow candidates, right, on the Democrat side. Hey, remember, Psaki said in her commentary on the news that crime is basically the major Achilles heel of the Democratic efforts in the elections coming up. And here we have somebody with a major national profile just blowing up everybody's spies. Like, hey, every time you hear a Democrat say reallocate, whatever word, right, she used, we know it's just another way of saying defund. And nobody's on that train anymore.
No. Well, not in election year.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me when I'm listening to this, because she's essentially pro-criminal. She's a standard product of St. Louis politics and St. Louis activism in the city. And last night here at the radio station, it wasn't a public event, but, you know, we had some of our advertisers in, we had some of our initial investors in, we, you know, had some folks who were contributors to the station, and we just kind of had a little meet and greet and snacked on some food and all this kind of stuff. And Ann Dorn was here last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was running with this story today on the program because that audio clip made the rounds last evening. So I knew I was going with this, and I'm talking to Ann, and Ann Dorn, of course, being the widow of Captain David Dorn, who was, you know, brutally murdered by one of the rioters during the George Floyd riots here in St. Louis. Retired police officer, shot to death. Stephen Cannon was already been sentenced to life in prison. He's being sentenced again today for additional charges related to this. So he's, you know, there's no chance that this guy is ever going to get out of prison unless we just completely lose our minds on the judicial process, which is possible in Next Generation. But, you know, with talking to Ann about just general law enforcement stuff, she's in full recognition of how much the police are under attack right now, politically speaking, not just physically from criminals. And the thing is that if the left ran in on a platform saying we're going to hold police accountable, then we're forced to engage and say, all right, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about how, right?
Right. Let's talk about what that means and how. I want police held accountable.
Me too.
Every good police officer wants police held accountable. That's not what Cori Bush is arguing for. She's arguing for basically starve them of all funding.
Yeah, and remove them from their capability, their ability to do what we pay them to do, is to, right, keep the peace. So it's a really fascinating aspect of it too, is that we would have been, especially as libertarians, if we were just talking about holding government accountable,
yeah,
for the overuse of government force.
Right.
We're on your side. It's like we don't like government force when 100%. It's out of bounds, right? Yeah. this could have been a bipartisan push to reform various aspects of policing in America. But no, you did this whole, you know, ACAB garbage, mm-hmm. you know, all cops are this and defund the police. And we have to punch out. We have to push back because you end up with communities in danger like we have here in St. Louis.
I'm trying to parse out and figure out what she means by using different words. Does she mean are they saying that she needs to use different words to hide the defunding idea? Or are they saying, no, let's use different words and not defund?
Well, what she said was that other Democrats are using other words. They're saying divest, they're saying reallocate, and she just flat out said, she goes, it's all the same thing. It's defund the police. Stop messing around with different words. just defund the police.
So she's not changing her stance on it at all. Because I mean, I looked it up. All I'm seeing is end funding, decapitalize, withdraw. You know, I mean, it's what it means.
The word defund tests really, really badly for Democrats. I mean, I can tell you what's going on here is that these campaigns, the DNCC and all of these, they do surveys, they do focus groups, they test messaging, and defund tests terribly, and it is absolutely hurting the Republicans. So what's happening is
you mean Democrats?
Democrats. I'm sorry. And so the Democrats are looking at other words and other messaging, but their core beliefs have not changed. Now, not all Democrats want to defund the police. There are plenty of Democrats out there that, you know, recognize that that's insane.
Sure.
But what's going to happen and what should happen is that in those districts around the country, Cori Bush saying, suck it up, we need to defund the police, is showing up in ads all over the country in other races around the country. And so that's why I say maybe all Republicans after the election should send Cori Bush a thank you card.
Every Republican should be using that suck it up, defund the police line from her.
Right.
Every single one of them, every chance they get, they should be saying the Democrats, they want to defund the police.
Yeah, and you can easily find a video that's been put together. It's like 5 or 6 minutes of Democratic office holders specifically blatantly saying we need to defund the police. Mm-hmm. Easy to find. I've seen it a couple times. Literally it's long enough I can't play it here. It'd take up over half of a segment of this. But it's just that being strung together over the past couple of years. And now they're like, well, we weren't actually talking about defund the police. We're talking about other. Well, no. And Cori Bush goes on national television and says, well, they can say these other words, but it's all the same thing. Stop messing around with the words. Just defund the police.
Well, here's the new meaning for defund the police. It's like replenish the police. The defund thing, that means replenish. That's what they'll do. They'll just change the meaning of it.
And so she's obviously trying to hawk a book. And I'm just guessing that the core audience, people who would want to support Cori Bush, I'm just going to guess they're not exactly book readers, memoir readers. I don't think that if you're going to take a break from making Molotov cocktails to read a memoir.
they're not even pamphlet readers.
Antifa isn't going to sit there and go, ooh, let's have a book club, an Antifa book club.
Oh, my gosh. I kind of want to see what an Antifa book club would look like.
Yeah. It could be on fire.
Well, crying out loud.
But mostly peaceful.
Okay, we've had a lot of experience in the last couple of years with public health officials. And we were told, stop questioning them. Their only job is to keep us safe and protect our health. Really? Well, some public health officials who were very quick to shut down lots of things during COVID just in case chose not to tread there when it comes to monkeypox. Anyone want to guess why? Yeah, I'll tell you at 8:20 here on 119-941 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
We spend a lot of time questioning, and I'm using air quotes here, public health officials with their political decisions over COVID restrictions and shutdowns, and that was the rage du jour from both sides because it immediately became political. Because it became about government control, it became about government managing and running our lives, and we were told, just comply. It's not that hard. Just do it.
As much as I refer to the public science as the white coat mafia, the public health official are really the people that I'm thinking of when I think of those guys.
I think every word that comes out of a public health anything right now should be scrutinized, if not completely discarded, until they can prove that there's something other than political motivations behind it.
Absolutely.
And this is – we're getting further evidence of this. Now, we're looking at California. But we're getting further evidence of this when it comes to, of course, the most recent, you know, so-called public health scare that we're now dealing with, you know. So the folks over at the Heritage Foundation and the Daily Signal, we're getting a lot of stuff from Daily Signal today. Yeah. They decided to do some what I'm assuming are freedom information requests, and they've gotten a bunch of emails regarding public health and other political officials in California who are looking for how do we deal with this monkeypox thing. You're thinking, okay, well, is it about necessarily how we just slow down the spread of this? No. Not necessarily. What they were really worried about is how do we not embarrass casual sex and gay men? I literally. And listen, I'm not saying – I mean, my guess is most gay men do not go do the bathhouse thing. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But I'm guessing. They're not the ones who are doing this. It is reckless behavior that happens to be 98%+ is still the number that we believe is correct. 98%+ of monkeypox cases are spread in some kind of gay group sex situation. So in California, which just as a reminder, was very quick to shut down coffee shops, schools, businesses, parks, chasing surfers out of the freaking ocean, and churches because they might have somebody there who has COVID and ordered all of these at the violation of our rights because of what might be. Now, we know what is with monkeypox. We know precisely how it is spread. This is not a new thing. This isn't a novel infection. And they were very careful to say, we've got to watch the messaging. We can't embarrass the gay community. We can't embarrass. No talk of shutting down like a bathhouse. No talk of, you know, let's be aggressive with our messaging. Hey, guys, this is affecting your community. Don't do this stuff because it could be, in their words, stigmatizing. And Gabe, you're looking to some of the emails that were uncovered in this.
This is wild. Yeah. What's going on here? Because they were very open, like in their emails discussing, okay, here are the venues that I'm tracking.
Right.
You know, based on our targeted audiences of people at higher risk. And guess where they are? Guess who they are that they're talking about? You know, they had multiple messaging pushes, they say, for to help deal with these things. But it was all very much hush hush,
right?
Because they didn't want, like you said, they didn't want the public stigma going out about this whole thing.
And they're putting people in danger just to get a different message across. That the whole virtue signaling thing is making people once again fall into a dangerous position.
And beyond that, it's not even just that. Well, we need to be careful not to stigmatize. What it proves is that in 2022, and I'm going to argue back in 2021, 2020, that the idea of public health is about politics. It is about more of a left-wing ideology. It is not about actually about public health, because if they were to be consistent back when there were just a few cases of COVID and they had this amazing overreaction, then they would be getting orders to shut down nightclubs, bathhouses, porn shops. They would be passing, you know, ordinances and laws and say you can't have, you know, more than X number of people over at your house like they did with COVID. But they're not doing it because this time the victims are specifically the politically convenient and protected class. It's all about politics. It's all about narrative. They do not want the public going back and looking at gay men in this way. And listen, live however you want, guys. You know, the good advice is don't do this, at least not right now. The reality is that if every single person in that community simply said, I'm not going to do this for 2 months in this country, monkeypox would go away in that time.
It would have been gone back in July, essentially. Matthew Chacko, who was the City of Berkeley's communication director, was kind of involved in a lot of these discussions. In a message that I believe he wrote, I'm not sure whether it was an email or a text, a conversation amongst them. He said, the implicit headline I'm afraid of is health officers say gay men will spread monkeypox at Pride weekend. I worry that feeds into sexual shame and stigma in a community that's familiar with being treated that way by straight people.
So which is more worrisome, the shame or a disease, an infection that is absolutely brutal?
By the way, it's very apparent when you have monkeypox.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's, I mean, basically there's sores involved. There's and often they're on the face, they're on your arms or something like that. Isn't there shame in that, and walking around with that stuff going on?
We know what happened.
We know. It's like, and even if we're not sure that that's monkeypox, it looks gross.
I saw a guy at a festival, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't monkeypox, but he's, you know, wearing, it was, you know, he was a very big guy, and he was wearing kind of the jean shorts, and I don't know what was all over his like calf muscles, and I'm like, and I, because at the point where I'm like, I'm backing away.
Yeah, it's gross.
And it probably wasn't, but it still had that. So they're more worried about the shame and the stigma than they are saying, guys, protect yourselves, don't do this. Without going, they're more worried about the shame and the stigma them being caught going to one of these businesses and saying, hey, think we could work something out where you don't do this for a while? Although I think if you shut down a bathhouse, it will probably go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they should have shut down.
Yeah, I don't think they should shut down anything.
I don't believe that the government had a role in doing that, in the same way they certainly did not have a role in shutting down churches or shutting down schools or shutting down businesses or doing any of that in the name of we're going to protect your public health. I don't think the government has any right to do that. But what we're seeing here is that it was never about health.
No.
Because if it were, they would be just as aggressive in saying it's about public health. We need to, you know, protect everybody, and that's not what's happening.
What I would expect from a responsible government system would be guidance provided to the public about what is, how to guard against it.
Absolutely.
And all of the communities that are at risk, here's what to do and what not to do. Of course, you're free to do one thing or the other, but here's what the data is telling us.
But then what happens is that when you say, listen, here's how it's spreading, here's how to protect yourself, you are by default saying this is a disease, this is an infection that is being spread through reckless sexual behavior.
Right.
And that's what they wanted to avoid.
Heaven forbid you say anything against reckless sexual behavior.
Exactly. Later on, the more of the
monkey
saga.
Monkeypox, monkeypox, oh, monkeypox.
All right, a couple of historic, I guess, kind of iconic things throughout the St. Louis area. Vandalized, damage. I've got updates on two of those just ahead right here on 101.9 941 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It's one thing for politicians to pat themselves on the back. Excuse me. Sorry, I got a little... There we go. It's one thing for politicians to pat themselves on the back, but a local mayor takes it to a whole new level. I'll tell you about that here in just about 2 minutes. It's 8:37 right now. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here and Ken Williams here. Couple updates on stories before that. We told you about this, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the historic Scott Joplin House in St. Louis. You know, Scott Joplin, father of ragtime jazz music. I mean, you know, big influence in early 1900s music culture throughout the United States. I mean, it was just a big element of jazz. Some idiot broke into the house, the Scott Joplin House, the historic area, climbed upstairs, started smashing stuff, throwing things out the window, and they did arrest him, and now at least we have a name. The guy's name is Kevin Lee Daly Bay. And he's now charged with burglary and property damage. And Brian Stith, who is with the Missouri State Parks Department, he's their deputy director, talked to KMOV, our news partners, about some of the damage that they discovered in the home.
We found a lot of broken furniture,
Just things thrown about the historic apartment, the offices. There were items thrown out the window.
And you don't get that stuff back. You can file your insurance claim and get some compensation for it, but you can't get that stuff back. So this guy, and I have no idea what his issue was, what his problem was, he just smashed up irreplaceable archives.
I really can't stand it. I mean, and we talked about this a little earlier with the gravesite desecration.
Yeah, which
as
I'll
well.
Get to in a second.
Sorry,
here. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll revisit that. But it, just the people who want to just destroy things, you know, how did they put it in the Dark Knight?
Right.
Some men just want to watch the world burn. I don't understand that mentality.
Right. Well, and related to that, in Hillsdale, the Greenwood Cemetery. You know, which is, you know, historically, this is a cemetery for black people going back literally into the 1800s. I mean, 1876 is when the cemetery was opened. Nobody has been buried there since 1993. So this is a historic cemetery.
Just being preserved at this point.
Just being preserved. And so a couple of teenagers went out this week and set fire to benches, kicked over gravestones, smashed up stuff, and they've been caught and they've been arrested. I don't know what their specific ages are, but they did a lot of damage. And I have no idea if the teenagers are white. I have no idea if they're black. Usually when something like this happens, they're probably not thinking this is a black cemetery. I'm going to go do something racially motivated. It's probably just stupid teenagers being stupid teenagers.
How would they even know?
Right. But it has the added insult of being something that, you know, literally former slaves are buried in. Dred Scott's wife is buried there. You know, Civil War veterans are buried there. I don't know which cemetery's headstones were knocked over and which weren't, but there's no point to it whatsoever. So a lot of damage was done. And if you do want to help, if this irritates you the way it irritates me, you can go to greenwoodstl.org, which is the website for the cemetery. So it's a historic preservation entity now is what it is, just preserving the history of that cemetery. And it's going to cost them thousands of dollars to fix this stuff up and try to repair what they can and replace what they can. And so if you want to donate to that nonprofit, you can do it that way. Okay, so let me get to this. I mentioned this a minute ago. Elliot Davis over at Channel 2, I love his reports. I just really love when he does the It's Your Money. You paid for it.
Yes.
So he goes up to Jennings. And there's a couple of controversies going on in the city of Jennings, and some of these are ones that every city has at one point or another. City Hall in Jennings, there are some people who want to build a new big city hall, an actual city hall building, you know, $14 million. There's a lot of residents saying, hey, look around Jennings. This isn't a fancy part of town. There's a lot of people struggling. It's not an affluent area. And that money could be used for a lot of other things. If you're going to pass a tax and you're going to spend $14 million, a lot of other ways to do it. Well, that's a fair debate. Every city has it. There is a place for a functioning city hall.
Yeah.
You know, the city hall in Richmond Heights, where I live, is also the courthouse. It's also the police department, you know, as well. It's also the fire department. They're all right next. They're all built in there together, right there, right off of the highway in Big Bend.
Government needs infrastructure.
Right. And so you've got to have offices for the people who, you know, make your government run. So that's not a big deal. They have a city hall. It's a very modest building. Looks like it was an old 1950s, you know, dentist building or something like that. And so there's other people saying, hey, just renovate that. Okay, that's a fair debate. There's nothing wrong with that debate. But they're saying, why are you spending money recklessly? And Elliot Davis, I'm serious, go to Fox 2's website and you'll see the video. The current mayor.
That's an important detail.
Yes. She is still in office right now. Her name is Yolanda Austin. And under her tenure in one of the city parks, the city spent $13,000 to honor her with a monument at the city park, and she's still in office. So there's a monument that literally reads, first of all, it's got an etched photograph of her on this $13,000 monument, and it says Honorable Yolanda Austin Basketball Court, August 26, 2019, and then it has a quote from her, motivational quote, guys. To be motivated.
Okay, let's go.
You can do it if you try hard. Mayor Yolanda Austin. So $13,000 of public money was spent to honor the mayor who's still in office. And by the way, the website of Jennings, I looked it up. They actually have a link to her campaign Facebook page on the city's website.
Oh, no. Isn't that a violation?
Probably.
I'm not sure you can do that.
Yeah. I'm inspired by her slogan as much as I would be if she would have put down there,
hey, look.
Just do it.
Look, yeah, exactly. Look, hey, it isn't you can do it if you try. It's you can do it if you try hard.
She might as well
Yolanda.
She might as well have said, you go, girl.
Yeah.
I mean,
they named the basketball court after her. That's basically what this plaque is doing. They named the basketball court after her. Did she buy it?
No, city bought it.
Right.
The city spent $13,000+.
No, I mean the basketball court itself.
Well, it's on the city park.
So it's pre-existing. Like, she didn't pay, you know what I mean?
Well,
when they built it, it's
a fairly new basketball court.
Okay.
But so when they built it, they named the basketball court in honor of her and then spent $13,000, which probably is close to the price of the basketball court.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Basketball, it looks like it's a really nice court, so maybe it's more than that. But to be on the city, overseeing the city government and saying, you know what we should do is we should build a monument to, I don't know, me.
you signed the proposal for this and basically the final check and said, yeah, I think I should be honored by this plaque.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess at least she has a high opinion of herself, I suppose. I mean, is that all right?
I love that part in the story. If you go to Fox 2's story on this, Elliot Davis's, and he says, I reached out to the mayor and left her a message. I haven't heard back. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And he knew he was not getting a call back,
man,
on that. But, I mean, it's like there are some cities that have, like, their walks of fame.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere.
I've seen some cities do
some
that.
Some cities do that. There was one, and I'm not going to name a name because this is a pretty high-profile person, who, you know, bragged about his walk of fame in his city, major city in the United States. And so I was flying or driving around his city in the taxi or Uber, whatever driver. I said, hey, you familiar with this guy? He's a friend of mine. You ever heard of him? He's like, nah, never heard of him. I said, well, he says he's got his, like, a star on the your city's Walk of Fame. And he goes, yeah, but that just costs a certain amount of money. Anybody can have that.
Oh, that's how
that works.
So it's just a matter of money.
Yeah.
And so in this case, it's a matter of taxpayer money.
Yeah, as long as it's not your money.
Yeah, that's the important part.
Oh, my goodness.
You can do it if you try hard.
314-912-1019. Okay, just ahead here, we're getting news now coming out of, well, another part of the world. Bad news when it comes to gas prices. The other part of the bad news when it comes to gas prices is that Joe Biden is president right now. We'll talk about it just ahead, right around 849 on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Well, the news is just coming out of OPEC or OPEC Plus right now. Is that they have come to the conclusion to reduce oil production worldwide by 2 million barrels a day.
Just a little bit, a little dent.
This is big. Now, gas prices were already creeping back up, if you hadn't already noticed. But this is eventually going to contribute to higher gas prices, which are already on the way up. But let's not try to say that domestic policy isn't the reason we're paying more right now.
Well, the keys have been handed over to the OPEC for the oil supply. The complete supply is in their hands.
Well, it shouldn't be. We got oil here.
Well, we're floating on it right now.
It was given to them. The keys were handed over to them.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Slid under the door
now,
of the White House.
As gas prices were going up, and as a matter of fact, I looked up the averages of the different gas prices around the country, around Illinois, around Missouri, and came up with some numbers. And just for fun, I decided to look at what was the average gas price as of January of 2021 when Joe Biden became president. And basically we're looking at about – it's still about $1.50 more than it was now. It's $1.50 more now than it was when he first got into office. And obviously we know that his policies really directly created most of that problem. And I am flipping through because I stuffed my numbers in this big pile of papers right here. So that's what I'm doing, just to be really honest with you.
Okay.
And so what's happening here right now in Missouri and Illinois, the gas prices have gone up from the last couple of days.
Yeah, they've been creeping up across the nation just because of, you know, just seasonal changes. You know, I was predicting that we were going to experience a seasonal upsurge in gas prices a long time ago, you know, even when people were
right.
were celebrating, or the Biden administration was celebrating the small downturn
right.
during the summer. I was like, this isn't it. This is not going to last.
In a true free market, even with normal inflation, we would be over $2 a gallon in gas. It would be higher than it was at the beginning. You know, that it would be higher, but it would not be where it's at. Right now, the average price of gas in Illinois is $4.33 a gallon. In Missouri, it is $3.40 a gallon. Nationally, the average price is $3.83 a gallon. January 2021, it was $2.39
yep.
a gallon.
We're going to crack $4 again. Very soon.
Without a doubt. And so Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about this at the White House, because remember, they made a really big deal out of, like Gabe just said, that, you know, that what, 50 cent, you mm-hmm. know, 60, 70 cent decrease over the course of about 5-6 weeks after it had gone up $3-4. In some cases, it had gone up $7 if you're on the West Coast.
Oh, it's $4.90 in Afton.
Yeah. And in, you know, California, it was, you know,
$8 or $9.
Yeah. So Peter Ducey asked her about this, and yes, he's asking a gotcha question, but it is a fair gotcha question. And then I'm just going to let the tape roll with Karine Jean-Pierre trying to make sense of an answer.
The president was responsible for gas prices coming down. Is the president responsible for gas prices going up?
So it's a lot more nuanced than that, right? Peter, you know this. There have been global challenges that we have all have dealt with. When I say all, meaning other countries as well, have dealt with since the pandemic. There's been pandemic and there's been Putin's war. And Putin's war has increased gas prices at the pump. We have seen that over the past several months. And what the president was able to do, he took some historic steps when you think about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and making sure that we were able to do everything that we can to bring that cost down for American families, give them a little bit more of a breathing room. And we saw that. We saw that every day this summer, saving American families over $1 per gallon. And so that is what the president's going to continue to stay focused on, our American consumers. How do we continue to keep prices down? That's why we did the Inflation Reduction Act. That's why we talk about the CHIPS Act. All of these things are going to help.
Ow. Ow.
Head desk.
Sorry.
Oh, wow. That was amazing. Basically, she went a very long way to say, well, you know, the one thing we were able to we felt comfortable doing gave us temporary relief. And you know, it was only temporary. Stop hurting me with your questions.
Sometimes I try to concentrate when she's talking on what she's saying, and I always lose it. I always lose track of where she's going because she never answers the question.
Oh, yeah. She's just,
you know, that you say that, it is kind of easy just to kind of float away.
I did. Just while now. She's, I was like, wait a minute, where am I?
Because she's kind of aimless. It is. It's kind of like smoking that stuff you smoked in college.
There you go.
It's kind of.
It's a political Jedi mind trick, basically. It's like, you know, this isn't the answer you're looking for.
The wave of the hand.
The wave of the hand. This isn't the answer you're looking
like
for.
Like the wax on.
Inflation
hand.
Reduction Act.
Oh, yeah,
CHIPS Act.
Right.
Oh, yeah, what does the CHIPS Act have to do with prices at the gas pump? But microchip.
Where was I? What was I asking? What was the question? I don't know.
You don't want to ask any questions.
Okay. I'm done.
Oh, so now with this news, they'll pick. So they're going to continue to blame Vladimir Putin, and they're going to continue now to blame OPEC for reducing the supply and not taking into account that, first of all, a strong president would have more leverage over this. Secondly, Putin's war, as they keep putting it, came way after our gas prices were spiking. And they keep looking at, well, here's the spike, and here's a little bit down from the spike, but still way up from where we took over. But see how we're keeping prices down.
Well, it's very much a heads I win, tails you lose sort of thing with Democrats. So they always, you know, when the prices go down, we did it. When the prices go up, Somebody else did.
Trump did it.
Yeah, Trump, Putin, whoever the evil person of the day is, you know, they did something bad, and now we're in dire straits. So and we can't do anything about it. I'm sorry.
No, wait a minute. The hurricane did it. So DeSantis actually did it.
Well, yeah. See, the highest Republican in office is the problem.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter what the situation is. The highest Republican in office is the problem.
Yeah.
And in this case, they consider Putin a Republican.
Right. Like they did in the dossier and all that.
Oh, for God's sake. All right. Just ahead here, we've got the Vic Porcelli show coming your way at 9:04-ish. Cardinals playoffs starts at Busch Stadium on Friday. I have not seen what time that game is going to be played yet. Philadelphia Phillies are in town. Cardinals have home game advantage in that initial series. Winner goes on to play the Atlanta Braves. So a lot of exciting stuff happening with the Cardinals. We'll keep you updated on that right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.